You're listening to The People Show with Seth, Dan, and Randy on Sportsnet 650.
It is The People Show. We are presented by Grip Auto and Tire, quality service you can trust in 14 locations to serve you. It's Elliot Friedman on the Jeff Merrick Show this morning. You hear it every morning at 9 o'clock. Elliot joining Merrick for a mini 32 Thoughts, the podcast here on Sportsnet 650 and across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I don't know if it's like I appreciate Elliot, and he's got great reasoning to be a big fan of Jack Rathbone. Why not? It goes beyond the talent. Good kid as well. I don't know. Is Elliot a jinx? Does Elliot have jinx powers? Is Elliot going to be like the Drake of the NHL, where like any jersey he wears ends up turning into losses? I hope not.
Oh, no, that's you, Dan.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. That's you in football, so don't project that on anybody else. Elliot, I'm not. No, Elliot's fine.
Okay.
I think he's engaging Canucks Twitter, maybe.
Yeah.
You know how he is.
You guys believe in the old jinx stuff?
No.
Really?
Only when it comes to Dan.
Yeah, I don't believe in any of that voodoo stuff.
How am I a jinx? Geno Smith is going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Yeah, it's going to be fine. Geno Smith is going to be fine. He's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
I think you believe it yourself.
Yeah. Doggo.finefiregif.
All right. It is the People's Show. I see a lot of texts on wrong answers only. Quick one from Pricer. The next player the Canucks will lose on waivers is the Kraken will claim all the bandwagon Canucks fans off of waivers. Take them all, please.
That's a pretty good one, actually. That's absolutely.
Pretty good one, Pricer. Keep them coming. We'll get to more of them later on this segment. But now joining us, Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. What's up, Kevin?
Not much. Listen, I thought we had a deal. Like, we sneak in, like, episodes of the game show to make me look good after. I don't want to follow Ian McIntyre, the triple threat. That's not fair. I've been told all my life that I've got a face for radio and a voice for print, so I can't be following iMac. Let's make arrangements in the future to change this up.
Well, you got something that iMac and nobody here can touch, and that's flow.
For at least another 30-some-odd hours, Sat. The appointment is booked.
Oh,
and
no.
The shame of losing to not just Quads, but Wagner and Wyatt in a poll. Like, that's it. The hair had to be cut.
Yeah, it's. I'm not gonna lie, it's not great. I don't know who's voting on these polls, but
I think the problem may have been that there isn't a single picture of me with my hair in its current state on the internet before the poll was run. But hey, I digress.
It might have helped you. It might have helped your cause. So Canucks and Oilers season begins tonight. What do you think of this Canucks team this year, Kevin?
I think I got a lot of questions, and I think I'm fascinated to see how they all play out. Like that's exciting, right? Like there's a level of uncertainty, and with it, probably some optimism for fans, at least amongst the forward group, and maybe a little bit of pessimism among, you know, what they have on the back end. Some of it having to do with who's not here, but a lot of questions, right? Like the one thing that has me scratching my head a little bit was, given all we heard last season about the lack of practice time and no preseason playing into the horrendous start and a year that just got worse from there, just how little sort of chemistry and consistency among the lines we saw. Like, you come out of a 7-game preseason and Travis Green is talking about having to find some lines. And again, that's a lot to do with who was not here for the first half and injuries to Besser, and obviously the Travis Hamonic situation. But, you know, there's a little bit of, I've seen this before, and it didn't start well. So I'm really curious to see if this group can find that chemistry amongst the forward groups, amongst the new pairings. You spend the whole preseason running out OEL and Pullman, and, you know, a couple preseason games later, we're into a completely different top four. So, a lot of that talk about the importance of building that chemistry seemed not to matter in the actual preseason. And I'm curious to see as I'm sure a lot of people are, how much it'll matter at the beginning. Because if they don't get off to a good start, a lot of that pressure starts to mount in a hurry here.
Well, it does. And we've seen how this team hasn't reacted well to getting off to bad starts like last year. So it's going to be important to get off to that good start. But also, what troubled them last year was goaltending, right? It took Holtby a while to figure his game out. Demko took a while to figure it out. And, you know, heading into, say, this matchup, looking at the two goaltenders for the Canucks and looking at the goaltenders for the Edmonton Oilers, how do you kind of see this goalie tandem matchup, not only for the game, but just throughout the season, how they kind of stack up?
Well, I don't want to piss off Randeep again, but I'm a little bigger on the Oilers tandem than he is. I know. So,
that's true. Very true.
Listen, you know, and I would also push back a little bit because, you know, like there was a little bit of revisionist history on Demko's start last season. And clearly he was better as the season went on. Mm-hmm. And established, you know, by the end of it, established himself as you know, statistically speaking, a top 3 to 5 goaltender in the NHL. But when I looked at the adjusted numbers early, like it wasn't like he was sinking them.
Right.
He just wasn't saving him to the degree that Jacob Markstrom had to the year before and to the degree that he did by the end. And so, you know, I guess I'm of two minds on this. One, he's better prepared and better for the role and for needing to save them, and he's showing that he can. And yet it probably is a little concerning if you do end up ultimately leaning on your goaltender as heavily as they have the past two seasons. I would argue that's not necessarily a good thing, but longer track record, more experience in the role. I would expect him, with the caveat that, you know, systems and goaltending tends to start slower than offense and power play. And we saw that last night in the National Hockey League with the first couple of games and, frankly, some horrendous looking goals. So with that caveat in mind, I would expect him to be better equipped to hit the ground running this year than he was last year.
Kevin, as a goalie, that right side of defense, how much does that worry you?
You can't help but be worried about it a little bit. But again, like I think that defensive play and defensemen sometimes, you know, you don't have to have the best defenseman to have the best defensive play. Like system and structure and buy-in from all five guys can help you overcome, you know, questions on your defense. Not turning the puck over and creating odd man rushes, you know, time after time after time again, will go a long way towards us not asking questions about, you know, the ability of these defenders to play against top opponents off the rush, to pivot and to not get beat wide, and to all those things that came into play last year. You know, they were set up by mistakes in the offensive end and a lack of back pressure, frankly, throughout the season. Like, it's real easy to talk about defensive gaps and maintaining gap control, a lot harder to do when there's no back pressure from your forwards. So I don't know that they had a forward group that skated very well last year to create that defensive pressure and that back pressure and make it easier on their defensemen. Are they better equipped now? Yes, but ultimately it's going to come down to not just systems and the tweaks that they've made, but execution. And, you know, I don't know that either one was great last year. Well, we know it wasn't great last year. They were the worst defensive team in the NHL based on shot, you know, sort of shot quality and shot the amount they gave up in total. There's concerns about the defensemen and how they're going to fit, especially after we didn't get a chance for them to develop chemistry in the preseason. But I don't think that everything ends because of those questions. Like, it's going to have to be, those questions can be answered not just by the defensemen themselves, but by the execution by all five guys on the ice. And that's a step they need to take this year as a team that goes beyond the six guys playing on the back end.
Kevin Woodley, our guest. So as the old saying goes, your best penalty killer has to be your goalie. The penalty kill has not looked good in preseason so far for the Canucks. We know they're working out a lot of different bodies with all the absences that they've got. But what makes a penalty kill help a goalie out most?
A degree of predictability and being on the same page. Like, you can't take away everything on a PK.
Yeah.
But the ability to sort of be on the same page of where the focus is and what you are willing to give up and what you're not. I did a Hockey Canada coaches round table this summer, and we had three NHL goalie coaches and an NHL head coach. And the head coach was Andre Tournier, who's now with the Arizona Coyotes. And I kind of wondered about him being there, frankly, on the panel, but he was excellent. And one of the things he talked about was his time with Patrick Waugh as an assistant in Colorado, and how when they went into PK meetings, they didn't change the entire structure of their penalty kill based on which goaltender was in net. But if it was Jean-Sébastien Giguère, whose lateral mobility wasn't his strength, they tried to focus on taking away seam passes. If it was Semyon Varlamov, who was dynamic explosively, but maybe not quite as solid on straight shots as Giguère, you know, they focused on different things. And the point being, you need to be on the same page as your goaltender. Whether you're playing to their strengths or adjusting based on who's in net is one thing, but you all need to be on the same page in terms of what you're leaving, what you're taking away, what they have to work tender, and what you're going to make sure they don't have to worry about as a penalty kill unit, and then sticking with that. You know, penalty kill is one area where goaltenders can make a huge difference. That's where you can see some of the athleticism, the big moment saves, you know, the dynamic ability to make a game and a momentum changing save. And Thatcher has all that in spades. But if you're continuously giving up grade A++, eventually that starts to come unraveled. And so having some expectation and being able to maintain that as a group in terms of, don't worry, this is a play we're not giving up. We're not giving up this seam. You worry about that one, or you worry about this shot, or we'll let them attack in straight lines, even into close range, but we're not giving up this seam. Having a philosophy around that and then building a trust by executing, so the goalie knows that, like, hey man, you guys said you weren't giving that up. It's gone. Right. It's gotten through 9 times, and on the 10th one, guess what? I'm cheating. Like, those are the types of things that you need to start with and build from as the season goes on.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Kevin, because it all comes down to execution, right? And sometimes even an imperfect game plan, as long as people execute it, is better than a good game plan that people don't execute, right? But when I watch this Canucks power PK, especially during the regular season and also during the preseason, it's pretty passive to what you mentioned. They're trying to give the lanes. So do you think the way they're PKing is the best way to go about it, or would you prefer to see them be a bit more aggressive with the pressure? Because they're kind of doing the same thing as last year. Like, what do you think is the most optimal way to kill penalties in front of this team, you think?
You know, it's a really good question, Sad. I wish I had a great answer for you, but the truth is, like, given the personnel, like, I need to take a look to see who's even on the PK tonight, right? And that becomes a part of it, because not just do you want to play to your goaltender's strength, but you got to play to the strength of whatever units you're throwing out there. And I think the inability to have consistent units, I think the fact that they don't have Hamonic and they're missing him as part of that PK unit, that they've had to move so many forwards in and out, and that they don't necessarily have their best options in Sutter and Mott available at the start of the season. Like, that's led to, you know, a lot of different people, a lot of different personnel, probably led to some failure in execution as everybody gets used to each other and what they're supposed to be doing on that PK through the preseason. And it's led to a lot of goals, and all those things sort of have to stop pretty quickly coming out of the preseason and into the regular season. But to be honest, like, I don't know enough about the strengths of who's going to be out there, let alone who is going to be out there, to start picking it apart on an X's and O's basis and saying, you know what, this maybe isn't the best way for this group to go. We've seen some teams have success with a high-pressure PK. You know, do they have the personnel to do that? You know, again, probably depends on who ultimately ends up out there. I'm not sure we have definitive answers on that early in the season. So playing a little more conservatively and not getting in a situation where, you know, you talk about execution. If it's something new concept-wise with new people doing it, over-aggression can leave you more exposed if not executed properly. It's probably easier to execute a simpler, more passive system when you've got so many changing personnel early in the season than it would be to switch everything up and go to something more aggressive, given all the other changes at this point.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine. And Kevin, yesterday we got to see the Seattle Kraken play, and Philip Grubauer is an interesting goalie. Despite being a Vezina finalist last year, it feels like, you know, some of the hockey world is still not sold on this guy. And does that go back to him playing Colorado behind the best defensive team in hockey? And what's your take on that? Like, is he getting disrespected when people say maybe, you know, he's not that caliber of a goalie? Or was that based on the defense and the team that he was playing behind?
Listen, I think part of last year was based on the structure in front of him. The adjusted numbers had him, you know, again, like, still on the fringes of the top 10, like, which is really good. but not top three Vezina Trophy times. So maybe that comes into play a little bit, Randeep. I think also where some of the disrespect or perceived disrespect comes from is, you know, in crunch time, it just hasn't happened for him, right? Like, you know, even dating back to when Hopi won the cup in Washington, Gerbauer had won that job in the regular season and was kind of taken to task, you know, really by targeting a tendency to drop his glove hand in the first two games that was easily identifiable. But the first two games for the Washington Capitals, like it just, they went after it and successfully. And so he was out in two games, Caps win a cup with Braden Holtby. I don't know that because he hasn't had that run, that type of playoff success, even with a good defensive team, I think that's where some of the question marks come. Like that's kind of, you know, like that's the next step. You have great regular season success, but if you want in that upper echelon, you have to do it in the playoffs as well. And so, you know, fair or unfair, like I think he's a really steady, sturdy goaltender. And if they play good defensively, start to finish this year, he'll be just fine. I thought last night was a little bit uncharacteristic of him in terms of, and I wonder how much of that was the moment, first game for the franchise, the hype of Vegas, the team that he should actually, you know quite well from the playoffs last year. Just, he was moving too much. He was over aggressive. He was quite literally hopping around in his crease at moments on that one goal where he got caught moving left to right and kind of drifting as the shot went against the grain and beat him back on the glove side. Like he literally performed a hop step kind of, you know, like a shuffle and a hop to get across on that. And that's, some guys use it, but I wouldn't say that's part of his normal repertoire. And to me, one of many signs for him that, you know, he wasn't settled and he wasn't himself. Sometimes that happens. We're not going to judge him based on one game because I don't think that's characteristic of how he would play. The winning goal off the skate, everyone focused on the kick, but you know, rewind it and take a look at how he played it. Like it was bad, frankly. Like he was just needlessly caught out of position and outside of his crease on a play you should just be able to drop a knee and push across to. So he's better than that. He will be better than that. Behind that team this year, but do I put him in a top, like, would he be atop my Vezina rankings last year or going into this season? Would I place money on it? Yeah, no, probably not. He's a guy who right now lives on that fringe of a top 10 argument, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it makes it fair to ask about the investment Seattle made long-term.
Kevin, we appreciate the time as always. We'll be talking soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There is Kevin Woodley, In Goal Magazine. A regular contributor here on the People Show and at Sportsnet 650.
That was a really good discussion. I mean, yeah. You know me, guys, and just all of us, we love the nerdy discussions every once in a while. But the thing that's so great about Kevin is he presents these complex things in really easy to understand ways, which makes it so easy to listen to. But, you know, that discussion on the PK, because that's kind of a theme so far through the show as far as concerns. And, you know, because we spend a lot of time saying you should do this, you should do that. And it really comes down to the best way to use your personnel, right? And I think just like we're going to find out for the rest of this team, we talked about it yesterday. When do we start evaluating the squad? 10 games in, 15 games in, 20, 25 games in? I think through that evaluation, we're going to try to find out, okay, what's the best way for this team to kill penalties? What can they do? What's the best way to go about it? Because if you don't have the personnel, you kind of can't be aggressive. So is it a combination? So what's the issue if they struggle on the PK? Is it because you don't have the personnel, or is it because it's an imperfect system? Or did they find it a way for it to click and be better than expected?
Yeah, in terms of the aggression on the PK, does that PK have speed is the question I have right now. With a Tyler Mott, a healthy Tyler Mott, you could say, yeah, there is speed there. All of a sudden, you know, there's a threat. And we've seen Tyler Mott, especially in that St. Louis series, pose problems a couple of years ago in the bubble. But beyond that, with him out of the lineup, what options do you have? Can you even play that style? Can you be that aggressive along the blue line? I don't want to see a power or penalty kill similar to what we saw last year. But, you know, if you've got a similar skill set maybe, where you have players that are a little bit, you know, maybe not as quick as the players you would initially like to use, you might be playing that sort of style. So we can speculate all we want. We're going to find out tonight. And it's going to be against the two most dangerous players on the power play in the league. So trial by fire, no question. But the only way we're going to see is, okay, who's got that speed to their game? Can they be aggressive? Are they going to sit back? Is it a bend, not break type of PK, which generally I don't like.
Yeah.
But the players you have available are going to dictate that.
And it's the most dynamic power play in the league.
Yeah, good luck with the first night.
Yeah, McDavid, Draisaitl, going to be a tough one with a penalty kill that is still very much trying to work out some of its issues due to many absences. Here's a way you can support the Canucks Autism Network and win a couple of tickets and an incredible VIP package to a Canucks and Seattle Kraken game. You can enter the Captain's Package Raffle. Head to canproam.ca and click the raffle tab. You'll be able to buy some tickets, and one lucky winner will receive two Club 500 tickets to the Vancouver Canucks versus Seattle Kraken game on December 27th at Rogers Arena here in Vancouver. This includes all-inclusive fresh food and non-alcoholic beverages, plus all of that, and you get a Bo Horvat signed Canucks authentic home jersey, a replica stick, and an official game puck, along with more. Check out canproam.ca for more details on the raffle tab with the Captain's Package. So we had wrong answers only. I want to get to a few listener submissions here because I promised we would. I don't want to disappoint the citizens of the People's Show.
We are the People's Show. Come on.
Here on the day of the regular season. Francesco Aquilini is going to join us after 5 o'clock. You'll be wanting to tune in for that, joining us in studio. Wrong answers only. Who will the Canucks lose next on waivers?
Mike and Tuason.
Yep.
Benning is getting picked up on waivers by Justin Trudeau for his stayability.
Okay. All right.
I didn't know Justin Trudeau had access to NHL waivers. That's amazing.
He didn't pick up Adam Brooks. Surprise. That shocked me. I thought the federal government could take him. All right. Curtis Olin coming in with, Canucks will lose Finn on waivers.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay.
I saw a few people say Finn. I don't know. I don't want to lose Finn, man.
Orcas are kind of like, you know, they're in this area of the world mostly. You know, yeah. Alaska, you go up the Pacific coast. There's only one team that could really steal Finn, folks. Seattle.
Ooh, could you imagine? I mean, yeah, orcas feast on squid.
An orca and kraken like tag team? That'd be unbelievable. That'd be like earthquake and tornado back in the day.
Well, I mean, you know, as people, if you know about, you know, sea life, orcas rule the seas.
Yeah.
So it would make sense for them to try to befriend an orca to ensure that they don't get going extinct.
There was
if you know anything about sea life,
I
just imagine Tupac saying "Thug life, sea life."
There was a pack of orcas just up by Cole Harbor this week. Saw that video going around.
Trying to take Finn's job.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, this one would hurt anybody, guys.
Okay,
Adam from Genoa Bay.
Genoa.
That was close enough. The Canucks are going to lose nearly Neil on waivers.
Oh, no.
No, don't
please,
say
no.
it.
No, please, no.
It ain't so.
Adam, the former Bath guy, wrong answers only. They will lose John Weisbrod, but it will be amicable.
As long as it's amicable.
That'd be good.
Jeff, the nurse, they'll lose Travis Green. He'll be claimed as the new head coach of the Calgary Flames. Flames are just going to steal any Canuck. I'm surprised. Maybe they were just lower in the waiver order that they couldn't pick up any of the Canucks that were placed on waivers over the last week.
Man, Rager's coming in with a really strong one here.
Uh-oh.
The Canucks are going to lose the Costco next door, sending the city into chaos.
Yeah.
What will the pre-game meal be now, guys?
No hot dogs. No cheap hot dogs. JD and Quitlam, I don't know how to take this. Wrong answers only. Satir or Shaw?
You're on waivers?
You can't do that.
Is that... Wait.
Co-host, man.
What?
I, this is news to me. JD, explain yourself, man.
Why? Sat's not going on waivers.
We're in a contract dispute.
He's a part of the core of this team. Wrong answers only.
I love this one. Jay in Surrey.
Okay.
It's a pod of orcas, not a pack, Sat.
There we go.
Whatever.
Oh, did I say pack?
I said pack.
Okay. Reset pack. There we go.
Pack. It's a wolf pack. As a wolf pack of orcas. They stick together.
Fathead Dave, Canucks are going to lose Stan Smeal on waivers next. Can't lose Steamer. What's going on? What are these takes coming in on the Dunbar Lumber text line?
I don't know that. We can't lose Steamer. Too good of a guy. How about this one from Leaf Hater Steve? Ottawa claims Francesco Aquilini from the Canucks.
Okay.
Not going to happen.
Francesco's probably listening to that on the way over to the station, so he might have thoughts on that at the top of the hour.
Well, we got to have Francesco on before he goes on waivers.
Yes.
So,
I got another one here. Okay. The Canucks will lose Pavel Bure's number in the banners to Florida. Or number in the rafters, sorry.
Tanvir. The Canucks will lose C-Mac, and he'll be back at 650.
All right, we'll close on that. It is the People's Show. Canadian men's national team about to kick off with Panama. A huge match in their quest to qualify for the World Cup in Qatar next year. Must win, pretty close. We'll talk a little bit about that. Our NFL power rankings, not saying, just saying, all before the top of the hour. And then Francesco Aquilini will join us for an exclusive conversation on Sportsnet 650.
You're listening to The People's Show with Sat, Dan, and Randy on Sportsnet 650.
It's The People's Show.
My eyes.
We got to...
Get yourself together, Sat.
Sat just lost it during the break here, folks.
I'm dying. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Now we actually have a reason to be ticked off.
That's bad.
I'll keep it PG here. Canada is down.
What just happened?
1-0 to Panama.
Ooh, not great.
Yeah, first couple minutes of the match, and Canada trailing Panama at BMO Field, and big sellies going on from the Panamanians.
And I thought the Americans had it bad going down early against Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
And since the Americans have come back to tie it at one.
Just pure chaos. Coughing out of the break from Sat, and now the Canadians have allowed a goal. What's going on, boys?
Sat was reading the Dunbar Lumber text line, and more wrong answers only.
Oof. So wrong answers only. Who will the Canucks lose on waivers next? And I'll read it because I was laughing so hard, and I choked on my water because it was so savage.
Yeah.
This is from Pokey Reddick Posse. Wrong answers only. Ole Olevi. Yes, I know they already traded him, but he's so slow that he just found out.
It's so savage. Ole Olevi. The jokes won't stop on Ole Olevi. Still trying to figure it out. It is...
And now you know why Sat was laughing / coughing out of the break.
Wrong answers only. Brian Burke's going to put in a claim on the Sedins to fill out his executive team. Oh, I don't know. They've been Canucks for life. Think the Sedins would do that? Probably not.
Oh, we got another
waivers,
one here.
They don't have a choice.
Canucks are going to lose the pregame siren on waivers.
Uh-oh.
It's everything. It's like a liquidation sale. What's going on here, guys?
Didn't they lose it to Vegas?
I think they took it from Vegas.
Probably. Yes, they did.
Rent to buy.
Yes. It is the People's Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randy Janda. Coming up, not saying, just saying. Already seeing some submissions coming in. Keep them coming at 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Francesco Aquilini, chairman of Canucks Sports and Entertainment, will join us coming up after 5 o'clock. Let's get into our NFL power rankings here on the People's Show. And after their big win on Sunday Night Football, we are consensus across the board on the Buffalo Bills. Basically, we're all Bills fans. We're going to head to New Era Field and start powerbombing people through tables.
Or just launching yourself into those tables.
Yes.
I believe that's how they do it, no? You got to jump into the table yourself.
So we're renaming the power rankings to the Power Ranking Mafia.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Yeah, nobody wants to go to Buffalo. We can do it from a distance, guys. Yes. But, yeah, this team, the question was... Okay,
Eddie Lack, best post-game meals in the show.
Yeah,
so.
he usually got them early because he was pulled in every game he played. He got it delivered to a seat.
I mean, his save percentage in Buffalo for his career was like... 860 or
something
like that.
It was bad. It was pretty brutal. But, you know, something Eddie didn't have, maybe in front of him, was defense. Mm-hmm. This Buffalo Bills team has that. And one of the questions we were asking before this week was, okay, they're smacking around teams, but can they do that to a good team?
Yeah.
And the answer is, yes, they can. Josh Allen, that defense, still dominant. They took out the Chiefs. They deserve number one on that because not only did they beat them, Josh Allen is in a position to be, you know, adjust within those games, react to defenses. That's something we were questioning in his rookie year. And coming out of college, can he do that? He can do that at an elite level. And yet again, we saw it.
Well, they're not just winning. They're torching opponents. And they're torching good opponents.
Destroying them,
So when you're doing that, I mean, it goes without saying. I was trying to, you know, I almost galaxy brained it and didn't put him on number one. And I'm like, no, that's overthinking things. It is the Buffalo Bills number one on the power rankings.
Number two on the power rankings. Randeep, where are you going?
I'm going to Arizona for this. This is finally a week where I'm going to give them some love and put them into my top three. The Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray. I know it wasn't the biggest win they had, but accumulation. They're still undefeated. And their defense gets better and better every single week as well. So to me, the Arizona Cardinals are a team right now that over, you know, they've had the high impact wins. They've won the close games. They're still playing at a very, very high level. And that defense is what we know they can outscore teams. But can they hold teams to a lower point total? We saw that as well. So they look like a balanced team right now. The number two on my list.
Yeah, I mean, the balance is so impressive, right? And it's not just what Kyler Murray is doing. Now, I do have some concerns about their overall offensive philosophy because a lot of it is Kyler Murray just doing amazing things. And hey, that's great. But is there going to be a ceiling ultimately to that offense at some point when, you know, when people really start containing Kyler Murray a bit and be like, okay, we'll let your system beat us instead of him just going ham. So we'll see if that changes. But defensively, they're good too.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Isaiah Simmons, Buda Baker, you know, Chandler Jones, they've got playmakers on defense. Yeah. And it's really helping them out so far. Cardinals at number two for Randeep. Sat and I are going with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look, we know what this team is. Tom Brady gets back on track, torching teams. I can't believe how much talent they have on offense, you know, where it's Godwin one week, the next week it's Evans, and they can go to Antonio Brown, have Leonard Fournette in the backfield. It's just a ridiculous amount of options. And I read a quote from Richard Sherman as he showed up. And he basically was just like, yeah, it's throwing shade at the Seahawks. But he basically just said, I've never been on a team with this much talent before. Because top to bottom, they're just like ridiculous. Hall of Famers, Pro Bowlers, everywhere across the field. That's the Bucs.
Yeah, I mean, and the way Tom Brady's playing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, we're sitting here talking about Kyler Murray and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, who we'll talk about coming up in a few moments. But what Tom Brady's doing is unbelievable. And you're seeing Antonio Brown play at a high level as well. And, yeah, some concerns maybe on the defense with the secondary and guys, you know, getting healthy again and whatever. But it's hard not to have them there, right?
I got them a little further down my list. I'll get to that in a second. But, hey, the Bucs, like the NFC teams, I feel like there's going to be just a switching of order every week. Because there's, you know, you've got the unbeaten teams. You've got the teams that are expected to be on the high end. And that's my number three team, the Rams. I've got the Rams at number three. And they beat the Seahawks, which is pretty easy these days for most teams. So I'm not going to give them too much props on that.
Uh-huh.
Remember, I had them actually number one on the
Seahawks
list last week.
Were leading the game at halftime.
Yeah, and then what happened?
Mm-hmm.
They lost.
But it wasn't as easy as you say it.
It doesn't matter. They ended up winning.
Stop
that.
Lying.
I'm not giving
just to,
them.
Like, try and prove
no,
the
your
point.
Team stinks. And that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying I'm not giving the Rams.
They're 2-3. What are
I'm
the
not
Dolphins?
Giving the Rams a number one or a number two spot.
Stop
on
being
the
ridiculous.
List.
Just make your point about the Rams.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
When did you get so sensitive about the Seahawks there, bud?
Just saying.
Exactly.
Stop being ridiculous.
The Rams, number three. See, that's what happens with Seahawks, man. They can't hear the slander. Their team stinks, and they can't hear
wrong.
It. They
like,
can't
you know.
Hear it. Back to the Rams. Took care of business.
Okay.
Robert Woods wakes up, but still not at that impressive of a win. There are better wins this week. The Rams in the NFC West are still going to be, you know, the team. But I have the Cards, Rams, and the Bucks kind of in that same slot where back and forth. They're going to kind of go back and they're on a week-to-week basis. So I got the Rams at number three.
I got the Seahawks at number three. No, I'm lying. I can't even. I can't
justify.
Pull that. I'm not gonna lie about things like Randeep just to try to prove a point.
What, the Seahawks are not good? That's really lying about that.
I'll say this: like one benefit that the NFC West teams have. This goes for the Cardinals, the Rams, and the Niners, and the Seahawks. Like they've got outside of their division games, they've got really easy schedules. Like you look at the Rams, who do they've got coming up? They've got the Giants, they've got the Lions, they've got the Texans, the Titans. You know, like this is a cupcake schedule for all of the NFC West teams pretty much outside of their division. So I expect the Rams to end up with a really, really good record come the end of the season. And that's how they're going to catch the Cardinals. But they're going to have to win those divisional games to really put them over the top. Right now I've got the Cardinals at number three in my power rankings because they're 5-0. They're the only undefeated team. As we talked about, they've got as good a balance as anybody. And Kyler Murray is right up there with Sat's boy Justin Herbert in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, and you can't go wrong having the Cardinals there at number three. I have them down a spot because at number three I have, I wouldn't call them my LA Chargers, but my crush, my little crush, my side crush, the LA Chargers. And look at the schedule they've had, guys. They've had one of the toughest schedules in the NFL, and look at the teams they've beaten.
Yeah.
They beat the Cleveland Browns. That was a big game they came back to beat, the win. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs already, too. And what is it not to like about this team? I mean, that Browns team is a tough piece of business. And the way the Chargers came back to win that game, what Justin Herbert did, that doesn't happen. Like, what was the, I think the chance, the win probability when the Browns were leading was something like 5% or something for the Chargers. For them to come back to win that game was unbelievable. So there's no reason why the Chargers shouldn't be moving up the power rankings the way I see it.
Yeah, I didn't have them in my top five prior to this week, but we'll get to that in a second. I got the Bucs at number four. They're a talented team. They're going to move up the rankings probably in that 3-4 slot for sure as they get more comfortable. But that defense is still a question that I have. Beating the Dolphins is fine, but let's be honest. The Dolphins don't have an air attack, especially with Jacoby Brissett. And even when Tua's there, they don't have an air attack. Is that secondary good enough to compete against the Rams and the Cardinals and air attacks like that? That's the question I have with the Bucs.
The Cards for Sat at number four. Chargers for me. Incredible what they did this week and what they continue to do. Rams at number five for me, and Sat Randeep closes out his top five with the LA Chargers. Update Canada and Panama. Panama is still leading 1-0 as you can watch this game on Sportsnet 1. Again, World Cup qualifying. Canada and Panama fighting for those top three spots. And, well, let's just say Canada needs to win this one.
Yeah, and it was a great chance right now. Jonathan David got a shot on goal. And great save by the keeper, went out for a corner kick. But I thought for a moment, as Dan saw my reaction.
Yeah, I saw you jumping a little bit.
I thought he was going to score. I thought he had it.
Canada needs to get on the board. Can't lose this one. You can maybe afford a tie, but losing at home to your direct competitor for one of those top three automatic spots would be a tough look for the Canadians. All right, let's get to Not Saying, Just Saying here on the People's Show. Lots coming in on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Brian in Coquitlam, not saying the Kraken will be in the final playoff position, just saying the Canucks will be on the outside looking in.
Brian's not all that optimistic heading into the year. Okay.
Okay. We will find out.
It starts tonight, boys. I got one here. All right. I'm not saying the Canucks can only have one McEwen. I'm just saying Craig is the only one left.
That's well played.
Well,
C-Max, I'm the McEwen now.
I'm the only
McEwen. Take care in Philly.
We're going to miss Zach. He was a good guy and a good player for this team and a great story coming up as an undrafted free agent. Best of luck to Zach McEwen off in Philadelphia.
Dan and Comox, not saying, just saying, Canucks management must be doing something right if other teams are actually claiming our players off waivers. That is Dan and Comox.
More coming in on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Marcus and Gibson's, I'm not saying the Chiefs sucks. The Chiefs suck. I'm just saying they are who we thought they were. Shouts to Dennis Green.
Yeah, and he also came off the top rope a bit earlier.
Ooh,
Marcus
okay.
and Gibson's.
What'd he say? What'd he say?
Elbow drop?
Yeah,
or
kind
like
of.
Frog splash? What's Marcus doing off
like
the top
a,
rope?
Like a full-on macho man from the top rope.
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay.
I'd say so. I'm not saying this Aquilina interview will be lame. I'm just saying the questions that get asked will be softer than a Brock Besser body check.
Ooh.
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
Brock Besser's not that soft.
No, if you really wanted to emphasize the point, Louis Erickson, because he wouldn't even throw a check.
Yes. Well, exactly. What was it, the 82-game season? He had one body check?
I think it was two hits.
Two hits in the whole season.
Two
like,
time.
You really got to go out of your way to
two-time
avoid contact.
Hitter.
Yeah.
This from East Van Tommy. I'm not saying Demko will be the Canucks MVP this year. I'm just saying if he's not, they don't make the playoffs.
Okay. Fair take.
Fire take.
Fair take. West End Mike coming in with this one. Not saying that the Besant Motors curse is real. I'm just saying Miller and Garland need to cancel their sponsorship immediately. No, the Canucks.
No. no.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
Those are ongoing. And from what I hear.
Was Zach McEwen a part
Zach
of it?
Zach was a part of that. Man. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
The curse is real to a certain extent. Yeah, absolutely it is. But from what I hear, there's also already a replacement.
Oh, okay. Mm.
That is will be at some point introduced.
Passat Motors Insider.
Yes.
I got people on the streets.
The streets are talking.
Streets is talking.
Unsigned text. I'm not saying Ole Olevi will get the last laugh. I'm just saying he upgraded to a much better team than the Canucks.
He also won't be seeing the ice.
is he taking out Marcus Nudivara off of Florida's D-Cor?
No, he's going to Springfield. He's going to the AHL at some point. Maybe.
I'm not saying I expected the Canucks to trade for Marcus Nudivara. I'm just saying I'm surprised they didn't trade for Marcus Nudivara.
Brad Shaw brought him up unprovoked in an answer the question we asked him about good defense.
And surprised there wasn't a tampering claim going into the league.
It's funny because every time I checked into something, right, this offseason, it was like about Canucks defensemen or some Canucks being in on defense. I'm like, Nudivara? Nudivara? And I heard about the Florida Panthers checking in on something. I'm like, Nudivara? They're like, leave me alone. We're not trading for Nudivara.
It's not happening.
I like this one from Torgy, guys. I'm not saying this year's ALCS stands for American League Cheater Series. I'm just saying Alex Cora and the Houston Astros. Yeah, I don't want to watch any of it. I'll call me salty. Red Sox and the Astros. I'm gonna be focusing on the NL this playoffs.
Who's cheating who in this series? They were both dinged for
go Braves.
The scandal.
Go Giants.
Yeah.
Giants. Yeah, I'm a Giants guy.
No, Dodgers.
I'll cheer for the
can't do
Giants.
The Dodgers again. Can't do it. Can't do it.
Can't do what?
No Dodgers for me.
No Dodgers?
Yeah. Go for the, like...
What about the Brewers?
They're not going to win.
Rowdy Tellez?
They could. Yeah. Hey, you know what? We cheer fat guy touchdowns. Let's cheer, you know, burly home run hitters.
What did the Jays get for Tellez again?
It was a reliever. I think it was Richards. Was it Richards?
Right.
If you can't remember, it wasn't ideal.
I was going to say, it wasn't Brad
Hand. Do you know how bad Rowdy Tellez was in the first half of the season with the Blue Jays? He was unplayable. Plus, they had Vladdy taken over first. They brought in Corey Dickerson. They just didn't need him anymore.
No.
But then he went to Milwaukee and figured out he's Babe Ruth or Prince Fielder. I don't know. One of the two.
A mix of both, really. Travis the Courier coming in with, not saying it's likely to happen, just saying it would be funny to see Chase on become Toffoli against the Oilers tonight.
Mm. I see where you're going with that, Travis.
I had to do some edits on the fly there. That text was clearly sent.
Oh, we got to be careful.
Yeah.
See this one from Christian?
Okay.
It's giving you an apology here, Dan. This is for you, Dan Ricci.
Okay.
Not saying I had an unfortunate mix-up the other day on a previous show. Don't at me. And I said, don't at me. Please don't ever do your Italian accent ever again. And it was sent to the wrong show. But now I feel bad for ripping the other guys about it. So I'm just saying, that's my story. And I'm sorry, Dan. That's from Christian.
Hey, Christian. I can't change who I am, okay? You keep talking about espresso. Telling you how I made spaghetti carbonara. All of the wonderful things.
To be fair, when we started doing the show together a couple years ago, you never did that.
Somebody texted in Simber.
Was it Simber?
Tell us.
We got Jeffro coming in with one.
Simber came from Miami, didn't he?
The Blue Jays are now in the offseason, guys.
Yeah.
No, yeah, they made two trades in the same day. One was for Simber, and the other one was the other one.
Okay.
Or maybe not really, actually.
Easy on the fat guy touchdowns, Fathead Dave.
Jeffro coming in with, I'm not saying the first game doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying the first game of last year was the best part of the Canucks season.
They did win. And then it went downhill. But it's going to be a big part of the conversation as we welcome in Francesco Aquilini to the studio in the next hour. Not saying, just saying, every day at 4:40 on the People's Show. Always appreciate you being a part of it and chiming in on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Sat's dropping his water bottle. We're getting
this segment has been so smooth from Sat.
Just a mess.
Coughing on air as he gets on to now just
dropping the
mess.
Lid of my water bottle. Maybe I am going on waivers.
Nah, we'll see. But coming up, Francesco Aquilini, chairman of Canuck Sports and Entertainment, will be joining us as we dive into a lot with the Canucks owner, what happened last year, his faith in management, and what to expect moving forward for the Vancouver Canucks. It is The People's Show. You're listening on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.